of creation. And in response to that, a long description of Sada and Sada,
Brahma's manifest, Brahma does his austerities, Brahma becomes realized, Brahma creates the universe, there's details. And then after the universe is created, Brahma needs to fill up the universe, so with living entities, to fulfill the purpose of the creation. And so the Kumaras and Lord Shiva and now Swayambhu Manu. And Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa appear directly from the body of Brahma. They appear in their adult form. No assistance from Brahma's good wife Saraswati. And Swayambhu Manu is offering his due respect to his father and the origin of his existence, asking for some service, and the service is given. Some appreciation for his quality and character and submission, and the service of performing the work of a prajapati and giving laws to mankind and giving protection, and in this way to all mankind. And so in this way you will please Lord Vishnu. So we heard a lot of discussion about the Varnashram, Daivi Varnashram, Sanatan Dharma system. It's given by Krishna. It's given by Krishna to the world, but through the agency of Brahma, Brahma on to Swayambhu Manu. The purpose of the social orders, the social structure, is to fulfill the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation being, living entities are given the opportunity to restore their original consciousness and return to their original home. This is not our real home. So that's outlined. Text 13. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana, Lord Krishna, is the form to accept all the results of sacrifice. If he is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. He is the ultimate self, capital S, and therefore one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interests. Report. Brahma is deputed as the supreme head of universal affairs, and he in turn deputes Manu and others as the French term chargé d'affaires, they're in charge of the affairs of the material manifestation. But the whole show is for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality Godhead. Brahma knows how to satisfy the Lord, and similarly, persons engaged in the line of Brahma's plan of activities also know how to satisfy the Lord. The Lord is satisfied by the process of devotional service consisting of the ninefold processes of hearing, chanting, etc. It is in one's own self-interest to execute prescribed devotional service, and anyone who neglects this process neglects his own self-interest. Everyone wants to satisfy his senses, but above the senses is the mind, above the mind is the intelligence, above the intelligence is the individual self, and above the individual self is the super self, with a capital S. Above even the super self is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishnu Tattva. The primeval Lord and the cause of all causes is Sri Krishna. The complete process of perfectional service is to render service with the satisfaction of the transcendental senses of Lord Krishna, who is known as Janardana. Janardana. Each of the names of Krishna has a special meaning. Those of you familiar with chapter 1 Bhagavad Gita know that in that exchange between Krishna and Arjuna, in different times, Arjuna addresses Krishna in different names. And each time, the specific name carries a certain implication. It's implied. It's carried within the name itself, without giving so many examples. I've been listening to a series of lectures on chapter 1. If you're interested, it's a really nice section. Prabhupada giving lecture in London in the month of July on chapter 1. Details for quite a long stretch, a couple of weeks, just in London, and just covering chapter 1 Bhagavad Gita. For those of you that are teachers of Bhakti Shastri or teachers of Bhagavad Gita and students, it's really nice. So here's an example. It's in one of the places Arjuna addresses Krishna as Madhusudana, and Prabhupada explains it's a criticism. Because you, Madhusudana, you kill the demon Madhu, and you want me to kill my relatives? He's not saying, why are you asking me to do this? Well, he is saying, I'm bewildered. What should I do? They're my kinsmen, O Madhusudana. Anyway. Here the word Janardana is used, and we learn from the Vedic teachings, this term Janardana is the name of where the four symbols of Vishnu are in the hands of Lord Vishnu under the name Janardana, and the Janardana form is the same name as the Paramatma feature, Janardana. And Janardana, or the form of Vishnu within the heart, is the recipient of all yajñas. Like when Krishna says, Bhoktaram yajña tapasam. Bhoktaram yajña tapasam. He's the bhokta, he's the enjoyer of all yajñas. That's Janardana. Because the offerings are made to Vishnu. Vedic sacrifice is Vishnu worship. Say it again. Vedic sacrifice, the whole karma kanda, vast section of the Vedas, 90-something% of the whole vast Vedas is karma kanda. And Vishnu is invoked at the beginning of each of those yajñas as the bhokta. And that bhokta, the beneficiary of the sacrifice, the one who is being propitiated, is not the devas. They're propitiated because the person's interested in the Vedic sacrifice. They want ABC or XYZ, and the deva distributes, but he is the bhokta, and he is the one that empowers the devas, and Ganesh removes the obstacles and so forth. But these things aren't understood for those who outside of the Daivi Parnashram system or Sanatana Dharma system, because they're interested in the temporary, they're not interested in the goal and purpose of the Vedas. to what the goal and purpose of the Vedas is, to know Krishna. We know that from Bhagavad Gita. Who knows the verse?
Vedasya sarve ahameva vedyo vedanta vidvedik.
Yeah. Sarvasya shaham riddhi sannivishtam vatakshvachya jnanam apohanam chara. Vedasya sarve aham eva vedyo. Vedasya sarve aham eva vedyo. The purpose of the Vedas is to certainly, eva. Know Krishna. Eva Vedya. So, that's the purpose. And how do you know Krishna? Well, he says elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, only by devotional service. So this system of Vedic sacrifice is meant to lead to devotional service. But there are those that don't see that. They don't see that Vishnu is to be satisfied with, to speak of devotional service. And therefore, just if you remember from yesterday evening, the statement of Vishwanath that jnana and karma get their strength from bhakti, but bhakti isn't dependent upon jnana and karma. Bhakti alone is independent, just as Krishna is independent. So, specifically, the performance of Vedic sacrifices may not be done with satisfy Vishnu purpose. They're thinking satisfy the deva. The worshipping the devas, that's the consciousness, to get something. And then even the sacrifice to Janardana, supposing somebody gets that, then karma yoga isn't in and of itself bhakti. It's sacrifice to Vishnu. But one may, the intention behind that, maybe, I don't want the entanglement of karma. So it goes like this. Here's the bottom of the pyramid. This is the yoga matter. The bottom of the pyramid is the unregulated everybody, masses. And then there are those that they're regulated by the codes of the Vedas. And then there's those that are regulated by the codes of the Vedas that are sakama. Then nishkam, so we heard about nishkam. So they're doing their duties, performing of sacrifices because they want something, and then those that don't want something. So Vishwanath said yesterday, chapter 1, nishkam karma, religious duties, isn't itself bhakti. It's not an anga of bhakti. But when bhakti is driving that nishkam karma, then it unfolds bhakti. So that's the message here. Just, you know, simply expressed devotional service. Now, devotional service is not simply doing the do's and avoiding the don'ts. We do the do's and we avoid the don'ts. But that's not the essence. The behavior and the avoidance of other behaviors is not the essence. It's the purpose of satisfying Vishnu, Janardana, and then that feature of Janardana is a portion of a plenary portion of Krishna. I like the language of Radhik Raman because some of you know who he is. He got his PhD from Oxford University when he was still a teenager. And Paramatma Sandarbha. So he describes Paramatma feature is a suppressed, not in a emotional kind of language, but a diminished manifestation of Krishna. The fullness of Krishna is not being manifested by Paramatma. The function of Paramatma is overseeing Prakriti. And that's a function of Krishna, a sub-function of Krishna. But there's not the, the pastimes of Krishna in Goloka. It's just the function of overseeing Prakriti. And therefore we find in Nectar Devotion there's some percentage of qualities of Krishna within the living entity, more in Lord Shiva, more in Lord Vishnu, and more in Krishna. So he's diminished or less than the full picture of Krishna, but Janardana, it's also correct, just as Prabhupada is doing here. The complete process of perfectional service is to render service for the satisfaction of the transcendental senses of Lord Krishna, who is known as Janardana. It's like Rishikesha, that's the definition from Narada Pancharatra, that is, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. You know that verse. Sarvapadi Vinirmukam Tatparatvena Nirmalam. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. So, Rishikesha, that's the master of the senses, that's Paramatma. He's oversees Prakriti. He's the master of Prakriti, master of the senses, Rishikesha. But he's doing that on behalf of Krishna. So you can say Krishna, who is another name, Prabhupada's way of saying this, is Rishikesha or Janardana. They're Vishnu Tattva. So let's go through this again. He's speaking about self-interest. It's in the, directly in the verse, and then expanded in the purport. Most people, the unregulated masses at the bottom of the pyramid, they're not yet human. They're two legs, but not human, because they're not regulated. The human life begins by the regulation of the codes of the Vedas. So just like an animal, the self-interest is the senses. So eating, sleeping, mating, and protecting the body, the senses. So that's the considered self-interest for animalistic people. Then above the senses is the mind, above the mind is the intelligence, above the intelligence is the soul, above the soul is the super soul, and above the super soul is Krishna. So the real self-interest is to please Krishna. But I may not understand the relationship or the identity of the bhokta of the yajna and Krishna. I may just be thinking, you know, the avidhi purvakam, the avid, without proper knowledge or wrongly performed sacrifices to propitiate the devas. And then this pantheism idea or Hinduism idea or the many gods idea. And then Ganesh becomes important and then the devas become important, and that's the limit of one's understanding. Krishna speak of it in Bhagavad Gita twice, chapter 7, chapter 9. Limited. It's wrongly done, it's actually meant for me, Krishna's saying to Arjuna. But it's elevating. It elevates one, the potency or potential is there to elevate one to goodness. And elevate one to goodness means heavenly destination. But the advocacy of Krishna is go beyond heavenly destination, because therein birth and death take place. The advocacy is come to me. So you don't go to Krishna without being very clear that it's Krishna who is to be pleased. So let's go to Manu now. Manu is going to be giving laws of mankind, and there's all kinds of do's and don'ts. Here's an interesting recent example that I encountered. There's a nice devotee somewhere, and mom and dad think he's become a fanatic. And they're like, really Indian, because he doesn't eat onions and garlic. So I supplied to this nice devotee all the quotes from Madhusamhita, not all of them, many, saying, don't eat onions and garlic. And then, you know, the consequences if you do is not just you'll get tamagun. It gets really strong language. But that's just a behavior. It's not a fanaticism. It's a Madhusamhita behavior. It's the laws of mankind. You know this statement. Religion is, Prabhupada's very simple, religion is laws given by God. And a religious person is one who follows the laws given by God. Simple dictionary definition. Religion is laws given by God. A religious person is one who follows the laws given by God. Now, are they properly understanding the laws given by God? That's another thing. Manu's giving laws, but what's the purpose of those laws? Not just get law-abiding people, and then the law-abiding people are protected by the government, and law-breaking people are punished by the government. And the government superintendent is the modes of nature. And, you know, you act in a sinful way, and you have, there's consequences. One becomes covered by guna and karma in a downward direction, then an upward direction. But that's not the goal. Just, you know, be protected in the sense that you're under the protection of the police force or the government, you know, the demigods. You get their favorable dispensations. And that may happen, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is satisfying Vishnu. And part of what Brahma is doing is he's transferring the responsibility onto Manu. And then Manu in turn transferring responsibility onto those who are his descendants. Satisfy Vishnu. And ultimately, the source of Vishnu, Krishna. So the Bhagavatam makes it really easy for us, and the process of Krishna consciousness given by our disciplic succession following this message of Srimad Bhagavatam makes it really easy for us. We don't have to go through all those complicated, put this piece of the puzzle together with that piece of the puzzle and that piece of the puzzle and then, oh, okay, there's the whole picture. I mean, at some point we may have to do that so we have a clear understanding of what's going on, why we're doing what we're doing. But we're just given a very simple process, the elevator method. Chant Hare Krishna. Be happy. And everything is there. And then introduced to Bhagavad Gita, and then introduced to Bhagavad. So this is the Bhagavatam explaining, Brahma explaining to Swayambhuva Manu. There's two of the Mahajans, one passing on the duty and understanding through that execution of duty, the understanding of the principles of Dharma. That's what the Mahajans, they know. The purpose, what is to be done, what is not to be done, and they know the purpose behind it. What is to be done, what is not to be done. We know from Rupa Goswami, if the vidhis of Dharma are followed, but you don't know the purpose behind, that alone can destroy bhakti. Follow the vidhis, but don't know why you're following the vidhis. It can be a bhakti destroyer. That's a problem. So it's important to know. It is important to know the purpose. So you just start with the purpose, and then you do the thing, and avoid the do-nots. in the consciousness that Krishna is to be pleased. But then comes, you know, the details and the details and the details. Just like this morning, there's a lot of fog. It's really, you know, normally sitting here, you can see the road, and the cars go by in the parking lot and stuff. Now it's just, you know, foggy. So we're kind of like that. Foggy. I know there's some light out there. I know there's something out there. But exactly what's out there is not so clear because it's foggy. And our understanding of the bhakti process is a little like that. And so, what's to be done? Niharam eva bhaskaram. It's right in the Bhagavatam, right? Really clear understanding. Just as sunlight dissipates fog. And when sunlight dissipates fog, it happens, poof. Not like slowly, it's calmly, it's poof. Foggy and then poof. So, the bhakti process is very quick compared to the stairway method. Lifetimes. The potency, at least, is there within the bhakti process. So for us, it may be a little like hurry up and make spiritual advancement, please, kind of message to yourself. But the full potency is there. And that's being passed on to Manu. And so there's the negative. If one does not come to that stage of satisfying Janardana, then two things. One's labor for advancement is futile, and he certainly neglects his own interests. Now, it's not double talk to say one's interest is the interest of Janardana. The interest is the interest of Krishna. That is one's self-interest. It is one's self-interest because who are we? It's not the senses. It's not the mind. It's not the intelligence. It's so that hierarchy. And when there's alignment, then the intelligence is most satisfied, the mind is most satisfied, the senses are most satisfied. And conversely, they'll never be satisfied otherwise. Never, 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 never. Disturbed, in fact. Unsatisfied. Agitated. Whether it's centered on the senses or on the mind or the intelligence. That's the purpose of creation, is to bring that alignment when there's disalignment or the living entities are unregulated. I'm thinking of a conversation with somebody that kind of was saying, or more than kind of was directly saying, my Krishna consciousness is inspirational, and I feel this connection with Krishna, and there's a natural alignment with the do's and the do nots, but it's coming from my connection with Krishna and Super Soul guiding me, and so I don't put the same weight as I did earlier in my Krishna consciousness because I found it a little oppressive. It was like guilt-ridden kind of space that somebody's in. So there's two ways to look at that, or two extreme ways to look at that. Way over here is fantastic. The way over there is whoa. Because better that someone recognizes God, then they don't. Better, on the other hand, that if I think I have this super soul connection and I don't need the guidance of scripture or, you know, those who represent scripture, then it's dangerous. Shruti smriti puranadi panchira chiki vidhindina aitakuntiki hirayar bhaktir utpat tayyaga kalpate. It's a disturbance to society and to oneself without reference. Without accepting the authority of the Vedas, how is one going to know Krishna? And the authority of the Vedas says through the process of devotional service, okay, I'm doing devotional service. I'm doing devotional service. And, you know, the Guru Sadhu Shastra thing, well, you know, I'm doing devotional service. It's interesting, because there's this is a devotee, initiated devotee, that's kind of come to that stage because of different reasons. Now, you know, a new devotee, that's one thing, and then an experienced devotee, that's another thing. How do you encourage somebody like that? Because if somebody like that feels they're being judged, what's going to happen? 10 giant steps back. And if you just encourage, then I'm fine. And they can be heading for the ditch and, you know, thinking it's fine. It's interesting and challenging both how to help people go the next step when, you know, it's clear they need a next step, but it so much depends upon your understanding of the individual and what will help nourish their Krishna consciousness, the next step of Krishna consciousness. It's not the same for everybody. It's real easy, but maybe not so effective, just to have a big stick. And, you know, people don't sit straight, you whack them. And so they sit straight, at least while you're around. And when you're not around, they're not getting whacked, so they, you know, don't sit straight. The vidhis have a purpose. All the laws of Manu, they have a purpose. And supposing somebody doesn't know what all those vidhis are, like how Prabhupada started the Hare Krishna movement. He didn't start with vidhis. He started with the holy name and himself. He gave himself. And then, because persons felt so nourished by the holy name and his association, if he said, turn left, they'd turn left. He said, turn right, they'd turn right. He said, you know, mission impossible. And they're running down the road doing mission impossible because of that spiritual connection. That's one of the most important, if not the most important, how to help another person we're in the thin, sim, awkward space. And then that could become sentimental and misguided also very easily. So, it's therefore this, like the discussion yesterday, Vishwanath's discussion with the Madhyama Adhikari Vaishnava, that's us, Madhyama. We're not Uttaman, we're not at the very beginning, so we're in the Madhyama phase somewhere, different positions. And we have an empowerment, we have an opportunity, responsibility to convey. And we have to be very thoughtful about how we're conveying to a particular audience, a particular person or group of persons. It's a great opportunity and a great responsibility. Not always easy, you know, because it's now the fog is lifting a little bit, so I can see the house and I can see the cars that are moving. Before I couldn't see. So it changes like that. We're not so clear. And sometimes, circumstances are really complicated. Sometimes. More than sometimes. Sometimes it's not so complicated. Usually it's complicated. Sometimes it's really complicated. So, the trying to please Krishna consciousness in whatever service we do, whether it's cooking, or in the office, or in the community, or a new person, or an experienced person, or whatever it is, Krishna is to be pleased. And to the degree that that consciousness is there, then empowerment can be there for ourselves and the service that we have to other entities. Not just other people. So, any discussion?
Just a clarification, Maharaj. When we're saying vidhis, when we do without knowing the purpose, it can be destroyer of bhakti.
Yeah.
And I'm connecting to yesterday's point you mentioned today also,
yeah.
Nishkam Karma Yoga, unless it's a direct anga of bhakti, it's not actually bhakti.
Yes.
Without meditation.
Yes.
On the other hand, we say even though mechanically chanting or...
On the other hand, we do what?
This intention to please Krishna. This state, even though I don't have it, but I just do even on the duty platform, gradually I might be able to go to that.
Yeah, but it the very submission that someday, then bhakti is there. So if you find yourself in that space, because you've introspected and that's my space. That's, you know, that introspection in itself, that's good. And it's not realistic picture to say it's zero, because that's not an accurate picture. I wish it was more, and it's, you know, less than I wish it would. So let me invest in the bhakti principle. Let me cultivate that consciousness. And then you're starting with how you engage in your chanting, starting right there. And you're reading. And you'll expand it out from the Shravanam Kirtanam activities. It expands out into all the other activities. It's not that it's a zero.
My particular apprehension, Maharaj, on that vidhi part, it can be destroyed.
Unless what?
My particular apprehension, when I heard that vidhi is just on the duty platform without that intention or the purpose,
yeah.
It can be destroyed. I was a little concerned if I'm not there.
But that's not a fact. It's a, you know, it's, You know that little example you've probably heard a dozen times? Which is a Tulsi, you know, the A, B, C, D, E, F. So even if it's just in the seed stage, the seed of bhakti, the bhakti lata bija, is wishing to serve Krishna. There. And, you know, let's supposing it's only a seed. Then it's only a seed. Grow it. So it's not going to destroy bhakti. It's, you grow it. That's the seed. That's the essence which we wish to nourish through all the various things. Now, conditioning says, my attention goes to all the various things. My duties to my family, my duties to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you know, how nicely am I doing the cooking, and how nicely am I da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And our attention goes to the activity, thinking of ourselves as the doer of the activity. That's our conditioned consciousness. And offer that to Krishna. Because that's where I am. But continue recognizing that's where I am. Continue to nourish because you're instructed to do so, and you've heard it, and you strive, starting with your chanting daily, and you'll. I'm not so good at it. Okay, and that's a good end. That's where you are. And then you continue to strive. Stay in the association of those who are striving, and that will help you. You continue to hear, and that will help you. The cleansing will go on by those things. The worship, and the association, and the hearing, and the... So those, if that's all part of the striving, then the cleansing goes on, and it gradually starts to improve. Because the seed will grow. Stay with it. You have something? Yeah.
While we are starting to practice bhakti, we always have this tendency of gliding down into the karmic tendencies.
To the which tendencies?
Karma tendencies.
Karma tendencies, yeah, exactly.
And also, sometimes we may just say that, oh, this is too much, and just right on into the vikarmi stage. Or sometimes we take devotional service as a devotional entertainment rather than trying to please.
Sure, there's all those things.
So, how do we keep our focus?
Same. At hearing, chanting, associating, praying. You know, nourish the bhakti principle, knowing that these are options that tendency takes me. Let me, you know, as best you can, to your capacity. I like visual things. So, in the past, more than in the present, there used to be intersections where it's a flashing yellow light. And a flashing yellow light means caution. This is a dangerous intersection. Look left, look right, drive a little more slowly. Be cautious, extra cautious. The flashing yellow light. So like that. And in my stage of bhakti, I've got this flashing yellow light. I recognize I'm in this zone where there's this tendency, that tendency, the other tendency, and when bhakti is not strong, those other tendencies come. They pervade. They prevail. That's anishtita bhakti. It's standard. You know, that you... exclusively or something. It's just so, and there's different categories. It's going to come up. in this Madhurya Kandamati discussion. Different, you know, progressive stages of unsteadiness towards steadiness. Propensities that keep us unsteady. So what to do? You nourish the bhakti principle. It goes back to the chapter, how does bhakti begin? You just invest in that. And I'm not so steady at investing in that because I'm distracted by these other things, these conditioned tendencies. And that, so then it's going to be more unsteady and less steady. It's a really good manual, this Madhurya Kandamati. You don't feel alone in your unsteadiness. You have an understanding. There's the map, and here's where I am. It's like a GPS. I was in a car yesterday, in Land Rover, and I didn't know this before. You know, the GPS system is very mild speaking, British accented person. I said, "Oh," he said, "Yeah, it's made in England. It's a center state expressway. It's motorway." You know, and then it just the tone of voice is so different, very soft. And at the end of the sentence, the voice goes up, as opposed to the English that turn right in 100 yards. Turn right. Now. No, different cultures. So, if you know what your destination is, the GPS will, you know, unless it's got a glitch in the system, it'll get you there. There's sometimes there's a glitch in the system, but there's no glitch in Krishna's system. So if we, with faith, it starts with faith. Preliminary, adhaushradha. So, and then it's just not, okay, I did that one, I did the adhaushradha thing, no. I can leave faith to the side. It's throughout the whole process. It grows. And so as my faith grows, it gives me strength to avoid the this and that and the other distraction. Strength. Bala, spiritual strength. We're not alone. Otherwise we get wiped out. Okay. Back here.
Maharaj, you mentioned about there are certain people according to where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And in a community which is just growing here.
Yeah.
Then there are so you talking about the GPS system. So there are some who may not be like if they don't get any training at all, there will be like total collision course, you know. So
it's chaos.
Yeah, and there must be.
Yes. What you're saying was something that I said a year and a half ago on a soapbox, saying training and education, otherwise it's going to be chaos. You remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so now you're just saying, yeah, it's becoming chaos because there are lots of people coming and they're not getting training.
No, my question is if there is there is a way for dealing with every kind of person.
If you're expert, there's a way to deal with every kind of person. And right. Some people need professional care. Some people, they need, you know, not just devotee care, they need professional care. But, you know, Ikshvaku gave us that advice, right?
Yeah.
The counseling seminar.
Yeah.
You know your limits. Some people need professional care. But go ahead.
The professional care category is one, but then there are some who think they are practicing devotional life, but may not be willing to take guidance from anyone.
Well, then they need a sandbox over there where they can do their sandbox thing. In other words, they need to know, such persons, you know, 500 different efforts made or whatever it is to help, when it's very clear that person just doesn't want any training because they think they know, then they need a sandbox over there. Because they can't be part of a community and disrupt the community. Because such people feel entitled to do whatever because they know. And so, you know, they need a little, an area of service, and it's over there. It can't be, some boundaries are required. You know that. I mean, you know that term, the boundaries topic or term.
Yeah.
So these are boundaries, and you don't cross these boundaries.
But they're still part of the community. And they're
still part of the community, but you have some boundaries. And if they're unwilling to abide by those boundaries, you cross the line. There's, you know, I'm gonna have to, some discipline is required. These are boundaries. So you have to be, such people, if you don't have clarity, you're gonna get, you know, further disturbance unnecessarily. You know, innocent people are going to be disturbed. That's not right. Innocent people shouldn't be unnecessarily disturbed. Now, where and how and all that, that's management or administration. And these days, this is my impression, these days it becomes more important, just like all the gun violence stuff. Now, it's not like somebody's going to necessarily go get a gun, but they feel entitled to go do some hurtful thing because whatever their because is. Now, it's not lovely, you know, to be a person who draws lines and boundaries. It's like the police, you know, the citizens that are protected by the police, they like the police. Because the police are giving them protection. And then the police need to keep hurtful people from, that's part of protection. Now, one shouldn't be an abusive police person, that's another problem. It's not an easy service. And it's not like so many people say, oh, thank you for this lovely service you're doing. Anyone that's been in this capacity of giving protection, you don't get lots of thank yous. It's not easy. And so, but there has to be a substantial amount of thoughtfulness of how and when and, you know, somebody that doesn't want training, but they want to be in everybody's face. You know, so some people don't want training, they're happy just being out there in la-la land, and just, you know, thinking they're practicing Krishna consciousness. But they're not bringing all of that energy into, you know, the ears of innocent people. So that's a line. And how to draw the line is, you know, depends. Management ain't easy. But compassion is exactly the Bhagavad Gita's message. Compassion isn't just, well, they're part of the community and we have to be very tolerant because we're Vaishnavas, we'll just be very tolerant. Some, you know, administration requires some boundaries. That's part of protection. It's right there. Not easy. For sure. And what does it mean to be part of the community? If I'm let's just say in a family, someone's part of the family. And, you know, supposing someone who's part of the family just turns the house upside down. or just, you know, Prabhupada was giving the example. Just yesterday, someone sets fire to the house, according to the laws of mankind. The word in Bhagavad Gita is aparayana, something. They're an aggressor. And they're to be dealt with. But, and Prabhupada said, supposing one of the family members sets fire to the house. Well, he's a family member. He's part of the community, he's just setting fire to the house. So, that, supposing somebody literally comes in the door, starts a fire in the middle, you know, right in the doorway, or goes into the back room and starts a fire. Well, you know, that's not acceptable behavior. It's worse than not acceptable behavior. So where do you draw the line? Someone's part of the community. They're not entitled to do anything they want because I don't need any training. They're part of the community, just like a member of the family. The members of the family don't set fire to the house. So where do you draw the line? For somebody this part, you know, here's the line. It's like in a Bhakti Bhikshu group. There's some kind of situations in a Bhakti Bhikshu group that somebody just goes off and off and off and off, and you know, there's a place somewhere with, you know, somebody who was criticizing Prabhupada. You know, what do you do with somebody that's, you know, Prabhupada was wrong? Well, he's part of the Bhakti Bhikshu group. Where do you draw the line? Or not exactly Prabhupada was wrong, and I don't think there's something. There has to be some lines. The acceptance of this authority of our founder Acharya is a starting point, and then this descending authority is another point. It has to be accepted. If someone's not prepared to accept it, you know, be happy somewhere else. Because here, this is the, our standard. It's not easy. But it's part of protecting for the people that are innocent, wish to grow without having somebody trample all over their devotional life. Management. Anything else? Okay. Should have probably thought.